I think that the first thing should be like a palate cleanser. We have some news for me personally from, I'm reporting live from Barbie Land. And it turns out that Barbie isn't the only movie that Mattel is about to pump out. Obviously, Mattel is the maker of Barbie. I mean, personally, I'm a Bratz girl, but Barbie has become my personality just because I love Margot Robbie and all the hype around it. And I just think it's so funny that like they're genuinely like grown men excited about this movie.
Yes.
And there are grown men arguing on the internet about how Oppenheimer is just so much better than Barbie. And I'm like, look at yourself. Do you hear yourself? Did you read the tweet that you just made to someone who is literally talking about Barbie? But apparently there is, I've heard about this one, but I didn't know that it was coming from Mattel. But there's about 45 upcoming movies. So they're going to have their own like MCU, Mattel Cinematic Universe. One of them is going to be Barney the Dinosaur. With, I don't know if Daniel Kaluuya is starring it or producing it, but it sounds like the most thing ever. And I can't wait to see that.
Oh, wait, is that the Barney horror movie that there's been like,
I feel like it has clips? To be. Like, how many?
Oh my God.
Barney movies are like to be. But I mean, if it's not, I don't know. I remember that Barney had a live action movie where he, like, I just have like very like repressed memories of it. Like he went to a shop and then they sung "All the Raindrops," and he would just like look at the sky, and I used to sing along with him. It was just so good. And then another one is a Hot Wheels film with J.J. Abrams attached.
My God.
Those are the only two other ones that we know about for right now coming from Mattel.
Why do I feel like this is so chaotic? Am I off here? Like, I just feel like this is so chaotic. Like, what's next? Like Home Depot, the movie? You know what I mean?
Okay, so I just personally think that we've been in a pandemic, and I feel like people were like, once we get out of this, I'm just going to make every movie that I've ever thought of making, because you just really never know when we're going to, you know, when time is going to end, and I'm actually here for it. Live action is also where it's at. I think that people are literally looking at Disney and looking at Marvel and seeing that you're making these characters come to life. And it's not necessarily always aimed at children. It's for children and adults alike. We've had Mario have super success. I mean, we have obviously all these live action Disney princess movies and other movies. So I'm here for it. Mattel was our entire childhood, and now we get to see it play out on the screen. I just want to know what Vin Diesel is going to feel about this Hot Wheels movie, because that's kind of his brand.
I mean, it's honestly such an interesting strategy to see these like companies doing this. Like, what will these movies be? Like, how do you tell a story about Hot Wheels? Like, are they going to build characters around this? Are there going to be action stars in it? I'm assuming it's going to be like live action, right? Like, we're not going to see like little metal cars doing flips and stuff.
No, and I'm just like, is it going to be like live action cars? Are they just going to get Owen Wilson to like drive the cars? I don't know. Like, it's just very, it's weird. It's camp. And I love that everything is just not so serious. Not everything needs to be an Oppenheimer. Not everything needs to be, you know, this top tier Oscar nominee. Silly little things like we had before, we had years ago, and we've been having. And obviously, if anyone has a problem with it, they can just be like, oh, it's for kids. And then that'll just settle the problem. Like, you're arguing about a kids movie, bruh.
But overall, I feel like the vibe for the summer, Kea, is you're either Oppenheimer or Barbie movie. And I don't really know how to elaborate on that other than you're one of those two vibes. You're somewhere on the spectrum of Oppenheimer or Barbie.
But then, like, what does that mean for you, though? Because I feel like you have Kennergy.
Kennergy?
Ken energy.
Oh, okay.
Ryan Gosling yeah. is like, Ryan Gosling is like, Ken is beach. And yeah. like, that's the vibes you give off.
I mean, so I think I am then having a Ken, I'm having a Ken summer, but there's definitely people out there that are having more of an Oppenheimer summer of like, where is the bomb being dropped? Like, you know, why are we not, or I'll, you know, why are we using CGI for this? Like that kind of energy.
No, oh my God, I was reading, I think I sent it to you. Yeah. It was like a meme about how Christopher Nolan, he wanted this bomb in this movie. Mind you, I'm watching both, you guys. I'm just not watching it on the same day. I have an outfit for Barbie. It's all pink. And I'm going to be seeing Barbie multiple times, but I will be seeing Oppenheimer. I don't know what it's about. I have a t-shirt though on the way. It says Barbieheimer, and it's love like that. Pink Barbie and then Oppenheimer's logo.
Love that.
But I'm excited to see it. I don't know what it's about, but the man wanted the bomb in it to look as real as possible. So I read about how like they made it, and no, they didn't drop like a real bomb, but they put like a bunch of propane and all these gases and chemicals, and they really like took it to the next level. They did not want, well, Nolan specifically did not want CGI to,
oh my God,
make this bomb. And you know what? If you're going to commit to something, fucking commit, I guess. Like, this is the man who's made all of the, arguably the best Batman movies. He made, obviously, Robert Pattinson's The Batman, which is my favorite Batman movie, even though I can probably say that that's the only Batman movies that I've seen.
Do you find that, do you find that Christopher Nolan, in many ways, is like a symbol of rejection of modern filmmaking? Like he wants more kind of just to go, like to make movies traditionally.
You know what? That is actually a good point. Maybe that's what he's doing, because right now I kind of feel like he's a snob.
Well, it's a weird hill to die on, right? Like that's kind of like every time I see interviews with him where he's like, oh, people need to like go to the movies, like watch things in theaters, and we need to make things, you know, with like no special effects, no CGI, like we're gonna just make it ourselves. It's like, okay, sure, but there's all this great technology, like do we need to do it this way? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I'm a strong believer of you have to go to the movies. I want people to back in the movies just because of a social thing, you know. It used to go, I just am not a fan of the prices of the snacks at movies, but guess what, guys? It is not illegal to bring a big purse and an air fryer and some fucking Tyson chicken nuggets, and you literally go to the movies and you make your own meal. But I feel like certain things should be seen on the big screen, but I'm not an IMAX person. I do think Christopher Nolan is definitely a snob when it comes to that, and he needs to get with the times. But at the same time, is he? Why does he feel that way? Because right. there are a couple of filmmakers who are like, we need to go away from this. Just like, who was that dissed all the Marvel movies and he said that he hated them? And I'm like, dude, just let people have fun, you know?
Make people have fun.
You want, make the movie that you want to make. We'll applaud you, but we're also gonna go and watch Fast and the Furious 25. We're also gonna go and watch like The Avengers. Like, you know, I just don't understand why it's that way. And if they had a good reasoning, like, oh, these movies are putting people out of work, that's not right. your reasoning. That's not their reasoning. They yeah. never say that. They're always, I mean, just like,
go ahead. I don't know. No, with this movie in particular, like my thought was just like, do they really need to detonate a bomb? You know what I mean? Like, do they? And I don't know how they did the special effects, ever. Granted, but like, just the energy of like, no, we're doing a movie about nuclear bombs, and we're gonna blow some real stuff to smithereens for the sake of creating like a traditional movie. It's like, hey man, maybe just do CGI for that one. You know,
because I can't tell the difference. And, you know, maybe he's making it for a certain audience who can tell the difference.
Right. And also, to what extent is this like your coworker that like refuses to get with the times and like use an Excel spreadsheet and is like, hey, can you just tally up all of these like numbers for me? You know what I mean?
Well, and it's like, who refuses to get an iPhone and it's right. Like, Samsung had all the same shit before you guys got it. And I'm just like, bro, like keep your like I don't care. Keep your Android, just leave me alone.
Right. Right, like you're going out to dinner and they want to split the bill with like cash instead of just doing Venmo or something. It's like, yeah, like we could, like I get the idea of sticking with the way things were done, but you know, like it's okay, Christopher Nolan. Like we're still going to go and watch your movies. You're still a fantastic filmmaker. We still love everything you do. Right. You know, just use a little bit of CGI for your nuclear bombs.
It's literally fine because
it's gonna be okay.
What's his name? Cillian Murphy? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. He doesn't look like a real man. He looks like a kid. So I'm like, if
he should have been Ken.
You use him in like all of your movies. You have a Ken doll like that stars in all of your movies. So be fucking for real for a minute, Christopher.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the summer of Oppenheimer and Barbie. You can pick a side. You could be both. You could be whatever you want. But the vibes, for whatever reason, could not complement each other more. It's beautiful. Yeah. There's just something about it.
Yeah, and I don't even know how it started. I guess it started because they're being released on the same day. And then one is just so... such a parallel from the other. Like one is about, I guess, what, World War something, and there's a bomb detonating, and then the other is literally about Pink and actually Barbie having an existential crisis, which I would argue that that's something the world needs to see more so than a real bomb exploding. But you know, don't want Christopher Nolan to be pissed off. Anyways, I'm excited. I hope you guys go and see both. And I hope you guys got your Barbie movie outfit ready. And I have to think about my Oppenheimer outfit. Like, what would Christopher Nolan want me to wear to Oppenheimer? Like, I have to do this utilitarian trend that's going on. I guess some army pants or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Pink on the top.
I wonder what it's like in 4D too.
Ooh.
Because, you know, I have the Regal that's next to me.
I would love to see that.
They do 4D. And I saw Black Adam in 4D. And that was not fun at all.
Did it vibrate? Did the seats vibrate? Is that what that means?
The seats vibrate. You go, you get knocked left and right. They knock you in your head.
Oh, I don't know if I want that.
There's rain when there's water.
No.
You go forward, you go backwards. And that's fun when you're on a ride at Universal or Disney. But for 2 hours, and The Rock is like beating my ass.
Nah.
The entire time.
Wait, I did not know this was a thing. That's so insane.
So
that
I'm
is
like,
so insane.
What's going to... There's wind. So what? I fear, God help me, if I go and see Oppenheimer in 4D... and the bomb comes, like, is it gonna heat up? Like, did he plant like little mini bombs?
Oh my god. You know, that's the future of movies, though. If we're looking ahead, if we move past Christopher Nolan and his vision for a second, like the future of movies is definitely gonna be putting on some headset. You're probably not even in a theater, right? And it's like just the most immersive, like you're following the Avengers into battle. Like you're in
VR.
You're in there. And there's gonna be people that like that just becomes their life. Like they are just, they live within the Avengers movie. If that's what
I feel like, it's okay to be a little Delulu.
Yeah.
Like I would like to disassociate and live in, well, not the Avengers world, because they will literally like step on your car and you just have to deal with it. But if it's for a movie like Barbie, I would love to live in Barbie Land. But anyways, okay, let's go to another trend that everyone's talking about. It's the last day. Grimace from McDonald's has been celebrating his birthday for a month. And I think that's the most relatable thing I've ever had in my life, because every time
it's beautiful,
my birthday comes around, I'm like, if it's a regular birthday, like it's not a milestone birthday, I'm like, oh, this is my birthday week. But if it's a milestone birthday, it's my birthday month. Grimace has been celebrating his birthday month. They have the Grimace shake at McDonald's, and either comes with a Big Mac or a 10-piece nugget. And he's just been going crazy on social medias. And then there's now, a Grimace trend?
Yeah. I mean, I love this. It's like the perfect example of like a corporate brand trend that just goes off the rails because of internet culture. And on top of that, a lot of these videos too are like, they've gotten to a point where it's like mini horror films, like these crazy graphic things. So if you don't know what the trend is, essentially, it's Grimace who, and by the way, I honestly have never seen this thing before. It's this giant. You don't
remember Grimace?
I do not remember.
Remember the Hamburglar?
Yes, I do remember the Hamburglar with the black and white stripes and the little eyed thing. But okay, so I guess Grimace then, he's this large potato. I think he's a potato, right? He's a purple potato. He's a what?
He's a Grimace.
Grimace. Okay, so he exists within himself. But essentially, it's these videos of people that have gone viral all over the internet, of people trying a sip of the new Grimace milkshake, saying, "Happy birthday, Grimace." And then it immediately cuts to just gore and blood. And it's all purple because whatever, blue, whatever the color of the shake is. But it's just like the most horrific, scary, demented videos of people that have experienced these horrific things after trying the Grimace milkshake. So, I mean, if you work at McDonald's corporate, Kaya, what would you do? Like, how would
exactly
you
exactly what they're doing? Grimace lean into it.
Lean into it. 100%. I agree.
Yeah, it's something that, okay, like, first of all, even if this didn't happen, it's a cool-ass campaign. If you go to the McDonald's Instagram or the McDonald's Twitter, any of it, Facebook, it's Grimace. He's hanging out with his friends. He has on shades. Like, he's cooler than a bitch. Like, Grimace isn't really that guy, okay?
He
does, like, a Instagram stories takeover. He does, like, an AMA. He's just, like, the coolest guy around. And he's like, I'm celebrating my fucking birthday. Like, let's get lit. It's already so good. And then now, I don't even know how it started. But someone did that, and it just cuts to like people passing out, people not knowing where they are, people throwing up, people like with their eyes bleeding, like, and so much so that they had to put on TikTok, like, participating in this trend could be harmful. Like, they've had to flag it.
Oh my God.
And then McDonald's saw exactly what's going on. And instead of like making a public responsible statement, they had Grimace say that he's pretending not to see what's going on. And I'm just like, this is iconic. So
that's crazy. I wish they would lean into it. Like, I'd love for Grimace to come out and just be like this, like, anti-hero type, like, you know what I mean? Like, make him the Joker, like, make him into the corporate brand Joker of like, yeah, I did this on purpose. Like I would you know what I mean? Like have him like murder the all along. Have him murder like those two little French fried kids. That's another character? Like, have him murder Ronald McDonald.
Or
like
God.
He should kidnap Ronald McDonald. This would be such a good idea. And then it's like, save Ronald by drinking more Grimace shakes or something. Like, I don't even know. I can't stop watching these videos, Kaya. I literally cannot stop watching them. I know I've sent you a bunch, but it's like, some of them are really just so well produced too, you know?
Right. The creativity.
Yeah.
And then also just like, thinking of these ideas and the production of them with just a freaking iPhone or a phone and an idea, a phone and a dream and a, and it's mind you, totally. Like it's not, he won't even tell you what flavor the milkshake is. He's just like berry.
Yeah.
What berry? Like that was a question when he did his AMA, someone asked him what kind of berry is it? And he's like, berry. And it's just a picture of his face.
That's so psycho. That's literally the most psycho, psycho like answer.
Funny. Like, and it's the same expression, but it works. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. People are crazy. I love the trend.
I mean, I think
telling you to do it.
Yeah. I mean, do this at your own risk. But the last thing with it that I thought was so interesting is like, making these videos, like it's not an easy thing to do either. And the fact that something like a smash cut, right, where it's like happy birthday Grimace, boom, immediately into like the kind of like horror film of it all. Like, I don't think that's an easy thing to do from like an editing creative standpoint. So it is kind of cool to see that like the internet has reached this point where people can kind of produce this kind of content in such a high quality format.
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Just on apps, dude. It's crazy. And you know what? Like that just shows when people are like, oh, you're buying phones that are costing, you know, with a comma in it. Like, why do you do that? It's because like these phones are literally computers, you know, like I can make a fucking Grimace horror movie.
Yeah, it just shows, I think, where technology is going and where, I mean, I don't know. It's like
content.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But anyway, happy birthday, Grimace.
Happy birthday, Grimace.
The way people say that, dude, is just so, like, you know it's coming, too. Like, that's what I love about it. It's like, oh, let's try this new Grimace shake. Happy birthday, Grimace. You know it's like this person's about to die. Oh my god.
Like R.I.P.
So anyway, lean into this McDonald's. I wanna see Ronald McDonald's get kidnapped or something.
I think I do this every year. I think today is like the last day of his birthday because I don't think they anticipated this to happen because they always have, you know, sometimes there was like the Travis Scott meal and then like Popeyes had like the Migos meal and Megan Thee Stallion like hot girl sauce and like, you know, they always do collabs. Well, they brought back this thing where they do collabs. But no one thought that just bringing back Grimace, which was like a staple of our childhood, would especially this. Like, especially this.
Totally. Totally. It's familiar, but it's new.
Exactly. And that's the best kind of content. So, obviously, we are here to talk about the bear. But before we get into the bear, the rest of the episodes, because we didn't talk too much about it last week. Because we were still finishing it up. A sweater has gone viral. And it's the sweater that Carmi is wearing when him and Sydney are trying out new recipes. And it's like this white sweater. And I don't know, it's just so simple. But everyone is, they said that it's trending, like the bear sweater. And it turns out, like, I don't know if you remember when Knives Out, the first one, even though I like Knives Out 2 better than Knives Out 1, but the first one came out, Chris Evans had on this chunky sweater, and it was Chris Evans' chunky sweater, and I think that sweater was like $1,200 or something like that. The sweater that Carmi has on is literally from J. Crew. So it's just easy for anyone to get. If you guys really like that sweater, that is definitely a nice, like, I don't know, like a nice, not professional. I don't know. It's just something about like, yeah, he's grimy. He has to wear a chef outfit most of the time, like from 6 a.m. to 12 a.m. He's just in the dirt, in the grime. But when he's trying out these new recipes, he's dressed like a little prince. So
he is a little prince.
He is a little prince. If you guys want that sweater, you can find it at J. Crew. So let's get into the second half of the show. Like, I think obviously the second half starts at the Christmas episode.
Yes, Jamie Lee Curtis, I agree. Oh my gosh.
Better Call Saul.
Sarah Bob Paulson. Odenkirk. Yes.
Bob Odenkirk, Sarah Paulson. What's his name from the guy that plays Michael? He is a guest star on the John Bernthal.
Oh, yeah, John Bernthal.
Yeah, he's on there. John Mulaney.
I know. What a star-studded cast, just to kind of start this off, Kev. Like, for this show that was kind of a sleeper hit, got a lot of buzz in the first season, came back strong in the second. And it seems like it's also similar to Succession in that, like, the industry really loves it, like Hollywood and TV, people that make TV and act and stuff, like, people really love this show. And I think that is a big reason why they were able to get such high caliber stars to take these minor roles, honestly, in the second season.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know who it was. Someone said that they called in to be put in the show. One of the guest stars. That's how good it is. And it shows that everyone is watching.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis was so good though as the mother in that.
Yes. And like, a lot of people are saying that she's overdoing it. It's too much. It's too drama. I'm like, no, I've never been to a play or have you never seen
I don't think she overplayed that character. Yeah.
Like,
I don't think
she seems shameless. I don't know. Right. She put her heart into it. And I think that there's clearly mental illness. There's clearly family problems. You know, there's clearly a lot of things going on, and it manifests as fixation. And also
totally.
It reminds me of food, right? It reminds me of the first season. Like, the first half of the season, it's not so stressful. It's more okay, this is what they're going to do. When we get into that episode, it reminds me so much of the first season, where every single episode we're stressed out. You know, that one is just, it's so good. That wasn't my favorite episode. The episode after was my favorite episode.
The Richie episode.
Second favorite episode. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Just final thoughts on it was an hour long, just your final thoughts on the Christmas episode.
I mean, one of the best hour long episodes of TV, like in terms of a standalone kind of we're going to pivot the show for one episode. I can't think of many other shows that have done that or have done it successfully in a memorable way. The Bear has done that here in the second season and just such a spectacular way. It was a movie. It was a standalone movie, and it reminded me a lot of, as you said earlier, a play, you know, kind of a slice of life kind of thing. I almost would want to take that exact the script from that episode and make it into a show on Broadway, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's just so real and the characters are so authentic, and it does set up a lot of the backstory for the rest of the season, and it kind of fills in pieces of the history of these characters together, which was really powerful and incredible in of itself. But as a standalone thing, you could show that to anybody that's never seen The Bear, and I think it would still hold its own as just a fantastic piece of TV or fantastic movie to watch. So,
hell yeah. I loved it. It reminded me a lot of Shameless. It reminded me a lot of some friends that I have that I've been to there. Not on holidays, but just friends that have family dynamic that you can observe from the outside. And you're just this
is chaos. Toxic. Yeah.
Yeah. This is terrible. What a way to live. And it's kind of oh, no wonder my friend acts like this.
Yeah.
But it just fills in the blanks. We all have that question of who's the mom, and more and more about Michael and more about Richie and their relationship. And obviously, how Carmy felt when he left and things like that. So,
I mean, it shows for Carmy, I think it's it completely explains why he works as a chef and as a restaurateur, because the chaos is the only thing that he knows, right? So for him, working in a restaurant's being home with his family, but it's the difference is it's not his family when he's working in a restaurant. You know what I mean? Like it's a little different. So I don't think it's as personal to him, but it's still that intensity and that environment that he's used to, you know, like you couldn't really, based off that Christmas episode, right? Okay. Like you couldn't imagine Carmi like working in an office on a computer all day. You know what I mean? Like he's just so used to that kind of extra intensity, extra chaos happening in his life. So
like the pressure cooker like makes him thrive, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is that sustainable?
Is it sustainable?
That's my question.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's one of the questions that the season kind of leaves us on at the end too. Right. And we can jump back at the end to the Richie episode, because I think that was the best episode of The Bear that's been on TV. But in terms of the way the season ended, what were your kind of overall thoughts?
I thought that it showed that restaurant will be okay, even if Carmi isn't a part of it, because Sydney and the way that they set everyone up to be able to work a restaurant, like, you know, it set them up to succeed. And right. He was locked in the refrigerator the most important time. Now, mm-hmm. would they be able to get a star without him? I don't know if that's true or not. I don't really know if they could. I don't really think so either. But they would be able to, like, you know, have this high caliber 4-star restaurant going on, because they've trained Tina and even, you know, Richie was so good at whatever mm-hmm. his position was. And now we have Sugar as like the CEO, like the operator of things. They're legit with things. They're on time with things. They have the permit for things. They have the uncle on their side that they borrowed the money from. So mm-hmm. I think that I answered my own question. Like, the restaurant is sustainable, but it doesn't need him to continue that way.
So do you think next season he steps away, that he doesn't, he kind of,
I don't think so. It's too early.
Yeah.
As far as like a character arc, I don't think that he will step away. Like we need to see him working in that environment. That
I agree.
And maybe I feel like maybe season 4, something might happen, or the end of season 3 and then season 4, something might happen. And he has to like step away from it. And it might be like something where he like has no choice but to. I don't know what it could be. But you know, it has to be something like super dramatic. What did you think about like the ending?
I thought it was really, really good. Trying to think like if I had any kind of specific takeaways, because I thought that it actually ended in a really kind of like wholesome way. Like almost to the point where there's, I don't want to say there's no cliffhangers, and tell me if you disagree, but I think like, yeah, you could tell the restaurant is going to do well. Like if it can operate without Carmi, it's going to do fine. And, you know, if he wants to take a step back and try to repair his relationship with Claire, he can. I don't think he will. And I think that's going to kind of be like the issue of the next season, is like him wanting to really take this restaurant to the next level. And balancing that with like a personal life.
Yeah, for sure.
Which you kind of saw this season too, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. We saw it this season. Mm-hmm. I don't really care for him to have a love interest. I want Sydney. Sorry. I just want Sydney and Marcus to get together.
Yeah.
And I am way more invested in that than whatever currently has going on.
I agree. Like,
I want them to be
did
together.
You find, I know like the whole thing with Claire was like actually really powerful this season, but did you find it in some ways like a distraction to the core of what the Bear is?
Yeah, I was like, we don't need this.
I agree.
We don't need him. And I'm so sorry to his character, but it's like, I don't want to see you find refuge. I want you to literally be at the restaurant trying to fix this fucking hole in the wall and being presented with another problem. I don't want you literally living life having a fucking girlfriend, which is a distraction, because if you didn't have a girlfriend, you would have called the fucking fridge guy and you wouldn't have got your ass stuck in the fridge, and that's the problem. So that I think that's what's going to make him, you know, back off and things like that. So I'm glad. I didn't really care for the character of Clear. I think that they put her there so we could know that, you know, he did have a life before he went off to school, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. Like, episode 6 did that for me. They could just remove the Clear storyline, leave episode 6, and we still would have had a great time. Now, you said something controversial.
When did I say that?
You said something controversial that I felt like you lost your mind for a minute, because we were just watching the show. You're going with this. And it was really good. And I understand that it was really good, but do you want to cop to it? Or
are Okay, I made a comparison between The Bear and Succession, and I said...
No, you didn't make a comparison. No, see, you're already starting on top. He said, this is better than Succession. And it was like right after, it was either right after the Richie episode or right after episode 6.
I think it was right after the Richie episode.
Hold your horses. It's really good. But tell me what you were thinking.
I think I just saw Richie at the end of that episode driving his car to Taylor Swift and just feeling all of the feelings of him having that kind of redemption. Because here's the thing. And
did you see a little bit of Kendall in her?
That's where I was kind of going with this. Like, where The Bear differs, and by the way, they're two completely different shows, but it is really nice to see a character like over a season and a half that's constantly been struggling and not really even believing in himself and just failing and all of these different things finally have like his redemption. And you'd never really do see that with any of the characters in Succession. Like, nobody has that moment of like, hey, I've turned a corner and I'm a different person now. Right. Like, they all just continue to be like, just,
it's terrible.
This is what,
you have a point. Yeah. You have a point.
Yeah. So for me, at least, when I saw Richie's arc, there was just something so powerful in that. And look, there's so many ways to judge a TV show and figure out like what you like more than another one. But seeing that, I thought was just like, I don't know, it was just such a powerful moment in television. Really refreshing. And you see a lot of it with all these different characters too. Like, I don't think Richie's the only one that like gains confidence and kind of like has moments of winning. Like, Marcus had a huge arc this season, going from like a very good pastry chef, you know, a guy that makes desserts at a restaurant, to a very high end, high level pastry chef.
That's who, Eyebrows Dude, aka guy from oh my god, I forget the movie with Jennifer Aniston, but he's the meme dude that's like, you guys are getting paid for this. He's the one who called. Yep. And he asked if he could be in The Bear. That's how much he loved it.
Oh, wow.
Fun fact. Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I'm blanking on that guy's name too. But anyway, the point that I'm trying to get to here is that these different character arcs and like seeing them come through to the other side, there's something that is really satisfying about it. And I know that Succession is unique in that it doesn't have that, right? Like, it's a true drama. Like, these people are going to lose at the end of the day. And that's what Jesse Armstrong said. And by the way, like, I don't think this podcast, Kaya, like in general, is us like just watching shows and being like, but how did it compare to Succession?
I know, but
but in that moment, I was a little worked up and I did text you that I thought,
don't do that.
In the moment, The Bear was better than Succession in that one moment.
Would you body stand of work, by that?
I don't know. I don't know, because The Bear isn't finished. Okay. There's more that needs to
Succession
be told.
Season 1, Season 2 compared to The Bear Season 1, Season 2. Pretend there's only two seasons.
Oof. I don't know. I don't know. Is it bad if I say that I think it's close?
I can't tell you how to feel.
Is that chaotic of me to say that?
That's definitely chaotic. I'll tell you that much.
Because, okay, so I do want to share the response that you had. Because you were like, first of all, you thought that was crazy. But then you also said, I forget the exact words, but you did say something like, there is an element of the bear that's a little bit cheesy. That's a little camp. Yeah. That's a little over the top. Expand on that.
Well, I think it was as much as I did love the, you know, episode 6 and everything, I felt that the whole Jamie Lee Curtis thing and her kissing the uncle and her, you know, Sugar asking her, are you okay? And then her flipping out and then her literally driving the car through the house and we don't really get a resolution to that. I felt that that was a little bit okay. It took me out of the moment. I'm watching a show.
Oh, because it's such an extreme reaction. It's such a dramatic swing. I loved it.
Don't get me wrong. I loved it, but then I was like...
More over the top than Kendall jumping into the pool or going underwater.
Listen, people do that. People do that.
People drive... maybe not.
Yeah. Some people do get lit and it's on accident, but no one that I've ever seen drives a car through a house and that's how the episode ends. We don't talk about it or anything. And then she comes back at the end and she's standing outside and she's just crying outside. And Sugar's husband is come inside. And she's no, don't even tell them I'm here.
That was such a powerful moment.
And I was fuck, this is depressing. I wanted to call CPS for them and they're all adults.
Yeah. And the fact that it was Sugar's husband that had to carry that weight, I thought was just, and I think I feel it's so powerful. And also one of those things too, everyone's
Tom
been in
Wamsgan of him. I mean, I know I'm not comparing it was success.
I was just going to say, it's such a real moment where I feel there's so many times in life in general where it's just you're caught between something, such a human experience that he had to go through of do I try to really get her to come in, do I agree with her, what do I tell my wife. Just another really powerful moment, and honestly that's really good TV, Kaya.
It's really good TV. I love this show and that's why we're talking about it. But it was just for you to say that with no kind of, and then you didn't go back and retract that statement.
I didn't.
You didn't catch yourself. Mm-mm. You stood in the paint in that moment. And I feel like you're kind of still standing in the paint because I'm asking you, between seasons 1 and 2 of Succession and seasons 1 and 2 of The Bear, you had to think about it. So that means that you really do think that this is.
It's a very good show.
It is, but is it Succession good?
I mean, Succession took off after season 2, I think.
Yeah, they did.
Is it better than, I don't know. I have a hard time comparing the two.
Because we have two ends that are really good. Because the end of season 2 of Succession is Kendall at the press conference. So that was insane. And then this one, it just has this human moment. And then also Carmy gets locked in the fridge and everything doesn't go wrong. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I think I would put it this way. I think the bear is more of an emotional show. It hits you in the feels in a way, in terms of how kind of explaining myself a little bit when I said that I thought it was potentially better than Succession.
Yeah, you need to.
I think what I mean by that is that The Bear really, it hits you in the feels. It's an emotional show. Succession is, in my opinion, just such a smart show. The writing is just so sharp and the characters are so complex and so layered. And so is The Bear. But I don't know if it has... See, but now I was going to say, I don't know if it has that emotional level, but then you think about Roman crying at his father's funeral. So I don't know. I think it's, look, this is a complicated thing. Art is very subjective.
But then I feel like it's two different shows, right? This is more humanizing because we can relate with these people more because we might know someone. We might know someone who's similar to someone on that show rather than someone who's similar on Succession because we don't know any like billionaires like that, you know, personally. So that could be it. But I mean, I understand how you got carried away.
I did get carried away.
I understand you because I like the show as much as you do. And it was just good. Like, so amazing second season. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for the third season. I'm so glad that it was 10 episodes instead of 8 episodes because last season was 8 episodes, but I didn't even know that I was going to like last season. So shout out to The Bear. Y'all did y'all big one for
100%. Reels. Give them 12 episodes next season. I can't wait for that for it to come out. And I hope it comes out in a year too. Not to be like picky, but it's like, let's keep these things going. Like, we don't need a 2-year break or anything. Like,
come on, you're FX, babe. You're not HBO.
Yeah.
Like,
right. Okay? Well, like, yeah. So, and I guess just to finish this up, like watch outs or whatever, it's just like, you know, The Bear is a sleeper hit for sure, first and foremost. And I hope that they continue to, just create incredible television and, you know that they have something special and just keep digging into it.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they're going to mess this up. You know how you get nervous about a show? I think that they know exactly like who they are. Mm-hmm. And even though they can surprise us in some ways, they'll be able to give us a third season because it's still very early on. And it's also a 30-minute show usually. It's not necessarily an hour show every episode. So I have high hopes for season 3. Season 2 was excellent. Even though I love season 1, I think that season 2 was better. And I can't wait to see these people again. I know that Ayo Sydney, she has a movie coming out. It's going to be hilarious. So definitely support them and their other endeavors. Shiv from Succession. What's her real name?
Sarah Snook.
Sarah Snook, Miss Thicker Than a Snicker. She has a movie on Netflix called Run Rabbit Run, and she's a mom and her daughter like sees people or some scary shit. Shout out to that movie. Definitely
shout out to it.
I can't watch it personally, but y'all be easy, and if it's good let us know, okay? Because I'm scared to watch it. And just have a great week, and we'll be back next week with episode 3 of Blow Pod, and I'll see if I can get Jay. If not, I'll just have to drag one of my other friends along. All right. Bye.
Bye.